poorly read. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Oh, I'm sorry, right? But Tom's face then looked like he was just about to, like, blow into the best balloon of his life. He'd have his, like, massive, like, inhale, like...
I'm going to start. Pick up your microphone.
Oh, God. Yes.
All right, what are we talking about today, Gifton?
I was about to make a joke that was even too much for this podcast.
I dread to think.
Talking about what we always talk about. Fighting the boy who lived.
Bloody Harry Potter.
Him and his fighting scar.
That's bloody Harry Potter, that is.
Fucking hell, that's Harry Potter.
Oh, what a fantastic God. Opening.
Yes, we're so good at this.
All right, today we're going to be talking about chapters 14, 15, and 16 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Chapter 14 is called The Unforgivable Curses.
And why are they called unforgivable?
Because they're super illegal.
I messed that up. Sorry, I was trying to cue you up for Hermione's, like, awful movie moment, but I said it wrong.
Oh, I'm not sure I'd be able to quote Hermione's awful movie moment anyway.
Oh, because, you know, like, Moody goes, and why are they called that? And then she goes, because they're... unforgivable, like that, and it's like, okay.
Okay, Hermione.
Okay, cut, take two. Yeah, so Snape
again, we get a little montage of lessons, including
that's such a cool way of describing it.
Yeah.
Just imagine that. Thanks, with some, like, 80s, like, backing music. Yeah. Snape's having a bit of a Mardy because of Moody.
And it's Neville accidentally melts his cauldron in potions, and Snape throws a fucking epi and gives him a
little. It's what Percy warned us about.
It is. Should have listened to Percy all along.
Yeah, right.
His report was important.
Yeah. Yeah, so Snape fucking gives Neville a detention that involves disemboweling a pot full of toads.
Does it? I missed that bit.
Yeah. I thought that was fucking horrendous.
Yeah. Well, he needs them for potion ingredients, probably.
I guess so, but you can use a spell for that.
Yeah.
Like, I guess disemboweling. Guess.
Disembowelio.
Oh, God, and you just shat out your innards. Or maybe it acts like sort of like a seppuku kind of thing. So this, like, beautiful triangle just etches itself in your stomach and then just...
Yeah.
Do you know that seppuku
the most
actually...
honourable way the wizards can kill themselves.
Seppuku's actually meant to end with someone else cutting your head off.
Is it?
Yeah, so you do the... In your abdomen, your intestines fall out, and then someone else is meant to complete it by slicing your head off. And that intense.
That is intense, yeah. But if I'm going to do that, yeah. I'd rather have someone cut my head off after it than, like, bleed out or whatever from my gut wound that I've inflicted upon myself.
I'd rather someone just cut my head off first and then, like, hold my hand and disembowel me, and then they can live with the scars of that.
So they get to, basically, after the little montage and Snape's fucking detention with Neville and disemboweling all the toads, apparently, they get to Defense Against the Dark Arts, the first Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson with Moody.
Yeah. And everyone's so excited. They get there, like, way before the class even starts and form a little queue.
Yeah, because they're learning from a guy who knows, man.
Yeah. I think I'd be excited too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I would want to see shit.
Exactly. Someone who's been out there and done it. Yeah. Real world.
I always used to respect teachers that looked like they sort of knew kind of what they were talking about.
Mm.
You know, looked like they'd really seen something.
Yeah.
You know, come in with, like, I don't know, one leg, a magical eye. You know that kind of teacher's song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a diagonal gash.
Yes, it was a riding accident.
So Moody opens the lesson by saying that he had a letter from Professor Lupin telling him where they got up to last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that.
He says, so it seems like you've got a good grounding in Defense Against Magical Creatures. You've covered Hinky Punks and Red Caps and fucking whatever else they're
Jigglypuffs.
Jigglypuffs and Wigglytuffs. And...
Hermione's like, that's what I call them too. He's like, what? He's like, you know, my Jigglypuffs. He's like, put them away, Miss Granger.
Put them away, Miss Granger. See me after class.
Yes, I'm having trouble sleeping, so...
Wow.
Right?
Could also do with a pound.
Yes, you bring that magic marker with you. Oh,
anyone
God.
Who didn't play the Pokemon games is lost.
Totally.
So
get away safely.
Gifton is loafing around.
Avada Kedavra has no effect. Oh God, do you remember what a shit Pokemon Ditto was in the game? Because it could only turn into what you were fighting, whose attacks were useless against itself.
Exactly,
like, fucking hell. Yeah, that was intense, wasn't it?
It was.
What type of Pokemon did you usually have? I imagine you was like a water guy.
No, I was very pragmatic about the whole thing, as you can imagine.
You were, yeah.
I would always choose Bulbasaur
because
grass attacks are super effective against rock and water, which is the first two gyms.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're very smart.
Thank you. Maybe we should make a like Pokemon spin-off.
What?
Podcast.
Yeah. I would totally be up for that. Yeah. Maybe that can be a Patreon.
Yeah, maybe that can be a Patreon perk.
Yeah.
But then it'd have to be released, you know, people who are into Pokemon are the only people we'd get at that tier.
Oh, that's so true. We can just do a random... Oh, I don't know. Stop listening in on our business conversation, guys.
How dare you?
Oh my God. Right, so Moody says
We're barely, we're not even off page one yet.
I know.
So Moody says, but you're way behind on curses. And I've got 1 year to catch you up.
Yeah,
and
so here we go. Fuck, cunt, piss shit.
Hermione's like, they are unforgivable.
Yeah, they say to him like...
And Ron's like, you're not staying.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, was that not clear?
Yeah, does he say why exactly he's not staying around, though?
I don't know. He just says, I'm just here for a year as a special favour to Dumbledore.
I guess that's all you really need to say.
I guess so. But then when he sees Ron, he's like, you must be Arthur Weasley's boy.
Yes.
Your father got me out of a tight spot the other day.
Yes. I got it stuck in my Henry Hoover.
Nothing diagonal about that gash, let me tell you.
But he came through with a good pot of your mum's gravy. Moody's like, some people think that it's not a good idea to like, or the ministry doesn't think it's a good idea to like, sort of give you a thorough knowledge of the actual curses and stuff.
I'm supposed to just teach you the counter curses and you're not supposed to see what the actual curses look like until sixth year. That bloody codswallop, I say.
Yeah.
How do you know?
You've got to know.
You've got to know. Constant vigilance.
Yeah, that's his, like, tick, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, like, Dumbledore's basically given him permission to show them the curses that they need to be countering.
Yeah.
And throughout this chapter, although I like seeing the curses, obviously, and that's obviously why she put it in, I did think, yeah, but why? Like, if you can't sort of... I get why the whole Imperio bit we're going to get to about trying to teach them to fend that off. But with Crucio and stuff, I don't think there's a counter curse to Crucio, is there? As far as we know, like, we don't ever see one. And we all know there's definitely not a counter curse to Avada Kedavra. So I did think, well, why do you need to show us that then?
Yeah, I feel like a description would have been
enough.
Sufficient.
Yeah, like I did think that's a bit odd. Like, and then I thought, well, and especially you not being actual Moody, why do you want to show them what these things look like and how to actually fight them off?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have been required to do this. So then why would you do something which seems so counter to your aim?
I guess he wants, maybe it's just being about super in character. Because I feel like Moody would be like, well, if the first time you see someone getting affected by Crucio is out on the battlefield, you don't want to be freezing up and shocked. You want to be prepared for it. You want to know what it looks like. It looks like this.
I guess so, but then why would you want to teach Harry Potter specifically to fight off Imperio?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that does seem counter to his aims, yeah. But then maybe he is just, like, super method.
I mean, he must be, right?
Yeah.
To be fair, to go through all the lengths he fucking goes to yeah. to get his actual result.
Exactly.
Because Voldemort's like, why did you do this?
Why did you go such a roundabout way?
Yeah, I said to you simply, get to Hogwarts, put a bag over his head and bring him here. Yeah. And he's like, yes, but he's got to know.
Constant vigilance.
And Voldemort's like, oh, he's fucking at it again. Okay. Give him his medicine, Wormtail. Yeah. Give him his spoonful of cowpaw. Fine, fine, use Tixie Licks.
So, Moody asks the class if any of them know of any dark evil curses. And Ron puts up his hand and says, Dad told me about one once. I think it's called the Imperious Curse or something like that. Moody's like, yes, it is called the Imperious Curse.
Arthur would know about that one. Get the ministry a lot of trouble coming over.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, what? I said, the government's a lot of trouble.
Listen, boy.
Cost of vigilance. Oh, God. So he gets out a jar of spiders or something. Or yeah. It's just one spider in the book, right? Or is it three?
I think several. I've always envisioned several spiders.
Same,
anyway.
But now I'm thinking about it. I don't know if I'm correct or not.
I think he gets out a few spiders and like takes one of them out and puts it on the desk.
Okay.
And says, now, the Imperio.
Yeah, what's the first spell he does? Is it Imperio?
It is Imperio, yeah. And he makes the spider do all sorts of shit, like tap dancing and jumping around and stuff. Yeah. And the whole class is laughing. And he's, yeah. He's like, oh, I think that's funny.
And everyone's like, yeah? And he's like, well, you're quite right. Carry on.
Yes. I did this intentionally for comedic effect. Thank you very much.
Yes, I saw what Jordan and McGonagall were doing and I liked it. So I thought, hey, let me try one with a fucking spider. So, yeah.
He's like, complete control. I could. How would you like if I did this to any of you?
Yeah,
tell
I could
you to
make it jump out the window, make it drown itself.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then does he say that like a lot of Deathly is used to blame it on this or something? Does he say that or am I just.
I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't. Mm. And then he gets out another one. And then he's like, a different one. Then isn't Neville like,
Neville, yeah.
Crucio?
Yeah, it's like, there's one, the Cruciatus curse.
It's like, ah, you're Longbottom, aren't you?
Like, yes.
Yes. Like, ah, yes.
You would know about this one.
Yes, I'd love to say, I'm sorry about what happened to your parents, but we all find it rather funny.
Jesus Christ. Oh, I did it.
Oh, God, it's my favorite. Yeah, and then Moody blows this spider up slightly larger than the previous one to like tarantula size, which freaks Ron out.
Yeah, Ron gives up all pretense and just shoves his desk back.
Yeah.
And then performs the Cruciatus curse on it, and it's like twitching and. Like writhing, and Harry says, well, the narrator says, Harry was sure that that it was silent, but he was sure that if it was capable of it, it would have been screaming. Yeah.
To me, this is the worst of the curses, I think.
Yeah.
It's just, that's so, because you can imagine what level of pain that actually is.
Yeah, because it happens to Harry later, and it says, he says he felt like all his bones were on fire. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I just can't. And when it happens to Harry, it's quite short-lived. Mm. I can't imagine how fucking long it was done to, like, the Longbottoms.
Yeah.
Like, to drive them insane. I can't even fathom it. Like, seriously, man. Fucking hell. So, yeah, Neville obviously doesn't like that. And then they're like, can anyone think of any others? And then Hermione's like, Avada Kedavra? No, the killing curse? No, she says Avada Kedavra, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
And then Moody demonstrates that.
Yes, he does. And he says, there's no counter curse and there's no blocking it.
Ah, so she fucked up there, didn't she?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, does Fawkes swallow it in the book? He does,
and
doesn't he?
And Dumbledore conjures like a huge metal shield, so the curse rebounds it with a massive gong sound.
Is that definitely in the books?
Yes, sir!
Well, look. You've given me enough reason to believe that A, you might be thinking of the films, and B, you may have just pulled that out of nowhere.
No, it's definitely in the book, because I remember thinking, oh, okay, so you can block it.
Okay.
Yeah, in the film, he doesn't... You assume he does Avada Kedavra because of how green his spell is when he's battling Dumbledore, but they sort of do like a moving version of Priory Incantatum without the things coming out.
Yeah, they just have a couple of like almost like lightning crackles just meeting each other, don't they? And it's like red and green, yeah.
But yeah, so then Moody goes, yeah, it's completely unblockable and blah, blah, blah. There's only one known survivor of it. And he's sitting right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Harry Potter. Do you want to know what you would have won? Yeah, and then so Lupin Moody does the curse of the spider.
Yeah, he kills the spider.
And they get a really intense description, like, because Harry's like, and Harry wondered if his parents kind of had experienced this the same way, heard the rushing sound of death coming towards them as their last, like, moments were taken away from them or something like that.
Yeah. Preserved perfectly with no blemishes or anything, like no signs of attack or anything like that.
Yeah, and I'm just still super curious as to if it hurts, if it's completely like just instantaneous and painless.
Yeah,
I would love to just know more about it, just because for it to be such an evil spell, it seems like such a humane way of slaughter. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm just wondering if there's a more like awful aspect to it other than the death part that makes it even worse than we're maybe.
But then maybe that is just what Crucio's for,
I guess. So
you just do that a bunch before you kill someone if you want to be a real cunt about it.
Yeah, shit, son.
So yeah, after the class, they're all coming out. Harry's sort of deep in thought about his parents and everything, and then Hermione looks concerned as well, and then she sort of nods over to Neville, who's looking super like shell-shocked and
super freaky.
He's looking super freaky. And he's clearly like, his mind's elsewhere. They're like, are you all right, Neville? He's like, oh yeah, and he's like, he's not all right. But then
he's like, oh yes, see you at dinner in the Great Hall or whatever. And then they're like, what? And then he's like, yes, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yes, I can see your dinner. Oh, what's for eating? And then Hermione's like, are you all right, Neville? And then Moody comes along at that point.
Yeah, Moody comes along and puts his hand on his shoulder and he's like, yeah, sorry about that. Or something. He doesn't say that.
He says, like, ah, come with me. I've got something to give you.
Come with me. I've got something to give
you. I've got something to give you.
So yeah, and Neville looks more terrified about the prospect of disappearing off with Moody, but
as you would.
But Moody says, "Come up to my office, and we'll have some tea." And he says, "I've got some books you might like."
Yeah,
which becomes important later.
Yeah, and then so they start walking away again. And then Ron's like, "Fucking hell! Did you see what happened to that spider? Like the way that fucking green light just fucking..." Made it proper dead.
And then he sees Harry and he's like,
oh, fucking Harry, that's up to your fucking parents.
Do you think I looked exactly like a spider?
Yeah.
Harry, are you listening?
Hey, mate, dry your eyes and join in. Right, so Hermione can be your mum, I'll be your dad. All right, come on, look, let's reenact. No, Hermione, the line is no, not Harry, please, not Harry. Okay, go on. Oh dear. Yeah.
So they get back to the common room. They find Neville reading a book about water plants because Moody said that Professor Sprout had told him that Neville was super good at herbology, so he thought he might like this book.
Yeah, and Harry thought it was really nice of Mr. Moody to tell Neville that. Because Neville really got told he was good at anything.
Yeah, he says it's just like something Professor Lupin might have done.
Yeah, I miss Lupin.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
He really was, though. Yeah. Apart from 3 days a month when he wasn't nice. Yeah. Yeah, and then they go back downstairs to finish off their divination homework.
Yeah, and they spend a little while trying to put together the charts and, like, accurately map where they should be and what predictions they need to be making. And then Ron's like, this is too... And they don't not getting anywhere. And Ron's like, do you know what? I think it's time for the old divination standby. And now he's like, what, make it up? He's like, yep.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And they come up with some, like, pretty funny, like, thingies.
Yeah, they're just like, just predict, just, you know, tragedy and gloom. She'll lap it up.
Yeah, and everyone's like, yeah, and on Thursday, like, Mercury will be in the ninth house, and that means that I'll get in a fight. And then Harry's like, yeah, okay.
Harry's like, oh, I was going to get in a fight. Yeah. Or maybe I'll lose a bet instead. And
yeah,
everyone's like, yeah, you could have been betting on my fight.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then they look over, or like Harry looks over and he sees the twins in the corner, like looking sort of quite serious, like, yeah, they're writing something.
Huddled secretively over, yeah, a bit of parchment.
And then he overhears them go like, no, we can't say that. It sounds like we're threatening him.
Yeah.
Then Harry's like, he wondered what they were. It couldn't have been more Weasley's Wizard Wheezy's forms, because it didn't quite look like that. And it was weird for them to be plotting something without Lee Jordan around.
Yeah.
And so they're like, So he's just a bit curious about that.
Yeah, and they're quite secretive about it. They tell him to... Do they actually ask him about it and they tell him to mind their own business?
I can't remember, to be honest. They do at some point. But it might be in the owlery, like, a couple of chapters later.
Yeah, yeah. And then Hermione turns back up in the common room,
yeah,
rattling a box.
And Harry's like, what's in the box?
I thought you weren't going to do any more film references.
Sorry. I'm back in the room.
Seriously, though, what's in the box?
Yeah, and it's a load of badges.
Badges. They say S-P-E-W on them. Everyone's like, spew. Yeah. And they have this whole thing. Is it the...
She's like, oh, no, it's the Society for the Promotion of Elfish Welfare.
Yeah.
And Ron's like, okay.
It's like, it's 2 sickles each that goes towards buying the badge and helps towards costs for promoting our cause. Ron, you're treasurer. And Harry, you're secretary, so you might want to write down everything we're saying as a record of our first meeting. And it's like, Hermione, no one cares about this subplot.
Yeah, no one, like, I respect it so much, but you're going about it in all the wrong ways. Like, you need to make a cause impactful, but also engaging and appealing, and you're doing none of those things. You need a better acronym, first of all. Like,
yeah, I mean, surely she would know that spells spew.
Yeah. Yeah, she might as well to call it, like, VOM. Like, the volition of...
mistreatment.
Full stop. No, right. So if it was VOM, but spelled V-O-M-M-E, then it was like the volition of mistreatment of magical elves.
VOM.
Yeah. No, the volition opposing mistreatment of magical elves.
Ah,
here we go.
Boom.
See, that'd be fucking better.
Would it?
VOM? Yeah, I think so. VOM. Because then Ron would have been like, you know, that's just like VOM, right? And she'd be like, oh, don't be ridiculous.
It's not spelled with two M's and an E, is it?
Yeah. And he'd be like, yeah, but just say it out loud. And she's like, well, I'm not going to say it out loud. It's on a badge. And he's like, all right, well, I'll see if his jokers go nowhere then. I remember, we might cut this bit because it's probably supremely boring, but there was, do you know who, I think it's Mary Whitehouse. She was, if that's her correct name, it's this lady who in like the 60s wanted to clean up like British television because she thought it was...
Oh, yeah. I know who that is because there's a reference to her in a Pink Floyd song.
Oh, really? Okay. So when she first set up the meeting, it was called, her sort of group was called Clean Up National Television. And then she had like, yeah. And she had like a sign for it, but her husband like comes in and like, this isn't like the made for TV movie. And he sees it and he takes her into the kitchen and he's like, And she's like, oh my God.
That reminds me of, you know, Susan Boyle.
Yeah, yeah.
When she launched one of her albums,
yeah,
she used the hashtag Susan Album Party.
Yeah.
Which read Sue's Anal Bum Pie.
That's excellent. Oh my God. I hope she's doing all right, you know.
What, Susan Boyle?
Yeah, like, sincerely.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think she is, but I just hope she is continuing to do all right.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you hope that.
Tom has no fucks to give.
I tend not to feel feelings, that's all.
Yeah, and then as they're sort of perusing the badges, Hedwig arrives back.
He
gives a little tap on the window. Yep. And delivers a nice little
comes in with a note.
Harry.
And Sirius is like, I'm flying north straight away. Well, he's, as in, this is what he's written on the note. He doesn't also appear through the window.
Sirius just arrives, like, holding on with one arm to, like, Hedwig's, like, talon. Harry, I'm flying north
straight away.
Actually, that's a bit redundant because I'm already here. Okay.
I'm going further north than this.
Yeah.
I'm going to the North Pole.
Yes, you never saw me, Harry. Don't worry.
yeah, he says he's flying back north.
North Pole. Yes, want to see a big red man about a deer.
Oh, God, don't get Hermione started on Santa's factory.
Shit, son, yeah. Do you think... That's probably not a thing. I was going to say, do you think that Santa is real in the Wizarding World and house elves make the shit?
Oh, my God.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Would it, though? Or would it be an eye roll and are you fucking serious moment?
Are you fucking serious? Like, yeah. Sirius Black.
So, a series of rumours have reached Sirius, even where he is. If Dumbledore's got Mad-Eye out of retirement, that means he's read the signs too.
Yes.
I'm on my way back up, Harry. If your scar hurts again, make sure you go straight to Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And Harry's all, like, pissed off. He's like, I should have kept quiet. Sirius is coming back up now, and if he gets caught, it's going to be because of me. And Hedwig's, like, nipping at him, and he's like, I don't have anything for you.
He's like, if you want food, go back out to the owlery.
Yeah.
She's like,
so she goes,
yeah.
Gives him a clip round the ear as she flies off.
Does a little shit in his mouth. He's like, ah.
I had that coming.
And then we segue into chapter 15.
Yes, which is called
Beauxbatons. And I was going to try and do an accent for Durmstrang, but I was like, I don't know what that would sound like.
It would sound like Durmstrang.
Yes, let's go with that.
Yes, now everybody's happy.
Have I ever told you my story about Segway? Right, so for a long time, right, I didn't know that... I know what that meant, but I thought that that was spelled S-E-D-G-W-A-Y.
Mm.
And...
Segway.
Yeah, so I... And then, so a podcast I was listening to a little while ago was talking about things that you didn't know weren't things until you got older. And when someone was like, that they didn't know that... They didn't know for a long time, until quite recently, that Arai and Segway were the same, and I'm doing like quotation marks, as Ori and Segu. And I thought that...
Wait, what? Say that again?
Right, so written down, that's what they look like, right? Arai and Segway written down look like Ori and Segu.
Something's gone awry. I don't actually know. Oh, A-W-R-Y.
Yeah, and yeah. I thought that those were different words from each other. And so I always read that as someone has gone Ori and then, and then we're going to Segu into something else. I didn't know. Although, and I thought that Segu and Segway meant the same thing, but
were
just
different words. Yeah.
And I remember listening to, and this is only like, maybe even earlier this year or like really late last year, I heard this and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't believe I didn't know that until this moment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I just had the usual, like, oh, I didn't know that word was spelt like that.
Yeah, so Harry sends a letter back to Sirius.
Yeah, he wakes up early, writes a note, that a very transparent letter.
He's like, I'm fine. I don't even have a scar.
Yeah. Mum and Dad are doing great.
Oh my God, sorry. Oh dear.
So he goes down and finds Hedwig in the owlery. And is that when he sees Fred and George? I haven't written that down, so I don't think it is.
I don't think so, no.
No. He goes down and finds Hedwig in the Owlery. She's still pissy with him, but it takes him saying, fine, well, I'll just ask Ron if I can borrow Pigwidgeon then. And she's like,
So when does he decide to use a different owl?
That's after he gets Sirius's reply from this.
Oh, okay.
But she sticks out her leg after he says, oh, we'll use a different owl then. And he's like, oh, fine. She gives him an affectionate nip, but maybe a little harder than she would have usually. Which is, you know, she's just done a fucking long journey.
Yeah, she's a really good pet.
Yeah.
Like, he should be nicer to her, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Give her more treats, you know.
Give her more treats, yeah.
Although I think I'd rather, like, a completely black owl so that they could fly under the cover of night and stuff.
Is there such a thing as a black owl?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen one. There probably is, like, really dark grey ones. I don't think you get pitch black owls.
No, I don't think so.
But I'd want, like, a magic pitch black owl.
Yeah. That'd I'm sure cool. You could, like, if you got an owl that was up for it.
Yeah.
Like, on the vibe with you.
Yeah, first let's fuck, then let's dye your hair. Yeah.
Now, you know, obviously I like you just the way you are, but...
That's right, it's just for covert operations.
Yeah.
Yeah, then after they go to Defense Against the Dark Arts again.
Yeah.
And Moody puts the Imperius curse on all of them.
Yeah. Despite having said that.
They're his.
And now they're his.
I hate myself for that joke. That was terrible. But we're going to keep it. I want everyone to know what a failure sounds like.
he puts the Imperius curse on each of the students, despite having said last chapter or a couple of chapters ago that use of it on any other human is punishable with a life sentence in Azkaban.
Yeah, he's like, but Dumbledore seems cool with it.
Dumbledore wants you to know what it feels like. I reckon that's got to be bullshit.
I wonder if he is making up this whole time.
Yeah.
Because that is a bit bizarre, isn't it? And we know that Dumbledore rarely hears back from what people are really doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Snape.
Yeah. So maybe Dumbledore was like, oh, no, that'd be good. Maybe they do need, like, a training to...
Yeah, but put the Imperius curse on them and see if they can resist it. That doesn't seem...
Dumbledore's like, oh, why didn't I think of that before?
Yeah. I mean, we all know Dumbledore's lax on the rules and safety and everything, but I don't think he would agree to actually have the curse actively put on the students.
I was trying to think of, like, a muggle equivalent of what this would be, and I couldn't really.
Yeah, because, like, hypnosis and stuff is not the same.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, I suppose it would be sort of like MK Ultra, like brainwashing. So Moody's like, hey, I'm going to do all these things to you. Then I'm going to have like a trigger word. And I want you to try and ignore the trigger word. And it's like, okay, hopscotch. And then Harry just turns around and fucking slices off Ron's head. He's like, ah! Yeah, 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 you didn't work.
Must try harder. Next.
So anyways, they just walk it off.
But Harry actually does manage to resist the Imperius curse.
Yeah, so I'm just a bit confused because, right, so when Moody does it, Harry has this sort of just like this incredible wave of euphoria and fogginess washes over him.
Mm.
Then he hears Moody's voice in the distance sort of saying, jump on the desk, jump on the desk. And then he manages... after like a few repeatings of Moody saying that, to say, no, I don't think I will jump on the desk. And he sort of does like a half jump that fails. And then I sort of thought, okay, so then if that's the case, how does the Imperius curse work long term? Because if people were Imperius by Death Eaters and stuff to do things, then they must have been permanently under the Imperius curse during that entire time.
Yeah.
So then how do you permanently control someone if when they're Imperius, they just have like this like euphoric haze that where they... almost like they sort of got into like a trance, because then they can't act of their own sort of like free, like their own sort of will. You have to be all the
instructing
time.
Instructing every little thing about their entire lives.
That's a lot.
Live two lives.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't think you could. Like, not to the degree that it would require if that's how the Imperius curse worked.
No, I mean, maybe there's some deep magic that allows you to sort of split your consciousness, maybe.
What, for the caster?
Yeah, for the caster, so they can dedicate part of their consciousness to always be with the person they've got under the curse.
I mean, that's
not stated, but like...
I feel like we would have heard about that if that was the case.
I'd have thought so, yeah.
Unless you can Imperius someone and say to them, go about your daily life as normal, but do this.
Yeah.
Because maybe then in that case...
But kill people whenever you see them.
It got to noon and Gerald was having an incredibly difficult day.
His trip to the supermarket was proving very difficult indeed.
And it's hard to drive with four dead bodies in the backseat. You keep getting stopped, you see.
And then that's one more body in the backseat.
Yeah. Right, so...
Is it the bit of Voldemort's soul that is allowing Harry to do that then? Is that, like, canon?
I don't think so. No, I've not heard that being a thing.
So why can Harry resist it? Just because he's stronger?
I think so, yeah. I think he's just got a bit more mental fortitude than the average bear, you know?
Yeah, but then if just a bit more mental fortitude is all it takes to resist that, surely, like, more people would be able to.
I reckon some people were and did.
Yeah.
So I reckon some people... But also, you got to remember that Harry knew he was being Imperious. So maybe if you're taken by surprise...
Maybe, yeah.
You know, you're not quite prepared for it. But maybe if you are, they're going to do it and you know it, then maybe there's a slight chance you can sort of be prepared to, like, you know...
Yeah,
maybe. Because someone was, like, Imperiousing you from behind. then maybe it would take over your brain too quick for you to be able to, like...
You wouldn't be able to brace yourself for it. Yeah,
exactly. And I reckon that's probably the majority of the time that's how it happens, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then they go to divination and Trelawney fucking laps up their made-up homework.
Yeah, she loves it, didn't she?
She fucking loves it. but she then asks them to do the next, like, month. And they get a bit like, oh, God, because they're running out of, like, travesties that can befall them.
I would just use one from, like, a couple of months ago and recycle it.
Yeah.
I doubt she would notice. So this is when you need a computer, so you can just set up like a thing, so it just has like a random event generator.
Yeah, just generate randomly, yeah.
Or just get a house elf to do it.
Do you think they are literate?
That's a point.
I don't know that they would be.
I guess they wouldn't, because who would have taught them?
Yeah.
Unless they just teach themselves.
But then do they write in the same way that they speak?
I fucking hope not. this letter looks like it's been written by Yoda. Yeah, that's a question. Let's ask one of them. Yeah, kind of all the teachers are giving them like a ton of homework. Like McGonagall does, Snape does.
Yeah.
Hagrid wants them to do extracurricular Scroot watching.
Yeah, this is it. Harry's like... was kind of desperate for a Quidditch practice because it was good for clearing the mind. But then, like, he was like, actually, even if he did have to, he's not sure he'd have time to do all the homework he's been setting because lessons were getting more and more challenging and everything. But they get to the one day, I think it's sometime after Trelawney fucking laps up their homework. They get to the entrance hall where there's a big crowd gathering around a notice that's been put up. Mm. And it says that on Friday, the 30th of October, the other school reps will be arriving and lessons will finish half an hour early.
Yeah.
And I did the most pedantic bit of research I possibly could.
What?
We'll probably cut.
Okay, go.
So this is 1994,
oh,
right?
Oh, you such a wanker, Tom. Oh, my God.
In 1994, the 30th of October was a Sunday.
Oh, my God.
I know, it's pathetic, isn't it?
Oh, dear. Okay, hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
What day are they supposed to be arriving?
Friday, 30th of October.
Okay, in 2000, when the book was released, that was also a Monday, so she's wrong on all fronts.
Oh.
I guess she didn't have the internet to check.
There are other ways to check.
No, but she would have had to, like, find...
The internet was a thing in 1990,
yeah,
whatever.
I don't know if...
Like, mobile phones would definitely have had calendars in them.
I don't think they did, dude.
Oh, did they not? No, maybe they didn't, actually. I said, it seems like such a basic function.
Yeah, I think she would have had to probably find an old calendar to verify that. She probably thought, no one's going to fucking care.
Yeah, that's true.
She didn't know that podcasts were going to be a thing.
Podcasts are going to be a thing. And there's also going to be a way of everyone looking that up in literal seconds.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing, if you were to write it now,
you would just,
like,
check that, yeah.
But or your then, editor would be like, yeah, we need to check this date.
But then, did she know that this was the actual year at the time, or is that, like, something that happened afterwards? She was like, all right, asking me exactly when it happened, fine, it happened here.
I think she must have, because I think she's always just counted it from when she started writing.
Yeah.
So I think she's just always kind of gone through year by year, so it just maybe not with like a purposeful detail, but she's always just gone by.
Have that in mind kind of thing. Yeah.
Because I don't think we get any more specific dates like for anything. It's only in the fields when we see like gravestones and things like that that we get actual dates for when people died and stuff. Which, interestingly, in this film, the gravestone for Tom Riddle Sr. was like missed, like they got the wrong like dates for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but in a really like foolhardy way, is if they just slapped any old date on it and people are like, hold on, no, that's not right
that's
at all.
Not right.
And so they had to go back in and like digitally thingy it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I thought, that's, of all the things you fucking pay attention to and you don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
That's more important than putting fucking random names on wand boxes that we don't ever fucking see. Department. Anyway.
And then my next note is they ask Fred and George what they're up to and they won't say. Can't remember if that's actually in that Great Hall crowd or not.
No, they do, because he hears Fred and George saying, oh, we can't make it sound like that. We need to make sure we ask him, but it sounds like this or something. And then they do ask, but I don't know why they say that.
But where are they?
I don't know. I guess they're in the Great Hall.
Yeah, I suppose it is, isn't it? Yeah, Hermione's still giving out badges and shit. Fred and George won't take one.
Yeah, like, Hermione, they like it. Have you ever been down to the kitchens, Hermione?
Yeah, that's it. And they're like, and she's like, no. And they're like, well, we have. And let me tell you, they think they have the best job in the world. Yeah. They love it down there. And she's like, well, that's because they're uneducated and brainwashed. Which, I mean,
she's not wrong.
No, she's not wrong. Hedwig returns.
Yeah.
And the note just says, nice try, Harry. I know your parents are dead. It says, nice try, Harry. I'm back in the country and well hidden. Keep me up to date, but use different owls. Use a different owl each time. Don't use Hedwig.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of what happens.
Well, then there's just a general sort of tension in the air over the next, you know, bit of time passing.
Because they're just excited.
Yeah.
And then on that fateful day. Bob Baton and...
Yeah, Potions finishes half an hour early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to love when that used to happen in school. I remember on prom night, our double period was cancelled. So we only had one. And that was cool. so then... Lo and behold, the two schools arrive.
Yeah.
Bobatons comes first, right?
Yeah, the first thing they see is a huge shape appearing in the sky.
Yeah.
Someone's like, it's a dragon. And then Dennis Greeby's like, no.
No, it's Superman!
It is one of those moments. He's like, don't be an idiot, it's a flying house. He's like, well, he wasn't too far wrong. It's a giant blue carriage.
Very giant.
And very blue.
Yeah. Imagine it sort of looks like the sort of like the Queen Elizabeth carriage, but blue.
And massive.
Yeah. It must be. But how many Beauxbatons students have come?
I don't know.
I imagine at most like 20.
Oh, a dozen.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't got to be that big, but it must just be like sort of like a tour bus size.
Yeah. I mean, how long did it take to get? Do you think they magically zapped over somehow or like?
I don't know, but France, like the, because where is it? It's in the Pyrenees, right? So it's in that bit.
Well, apparently no one knows where it is.
Oh, but I told you in our special edition.
Yeah, so. I know. But yeah, I guess so. So I was thinking, but at this point in the books, we don't know where it is. But that doesn't matter.
Yeah, so if it's there, it wouldn't have taken that long to just fly over regularly, right? Maybe like 2 hours.
If they were flying at the speed of an aeroplane, yeah.
They probably are. I mean, they're like magic horses, right? Because otherwise you'd just say, look, guys, should we just take an airplane? Yeah. So I've got a friend who works at EasyJet.
Yeah, we'll get him to paint the orange bits blue, just to be on brand.
Oh, God, they'll just get out of like an Uber at the bottom of the gates.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, it took him ages to find us. But it's okay, we're here.
So, yeah, Madame Maxime emerges from the carriage.
Yeah, Madame Maxine. Oh, Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's one huge woman.
Yep.
She's got opals on her fingers.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, she does. Keen insights.
Yeah, and Dumbledore's like, great to see you.
Yeah, do you want to come in and warm up? And she's like, yes, I would love to, but my horses. And he's like, okay, I have magical creatures, teacher. We'll be able to provide for them. And she's like, oh, I don't think so. They are very strong.
That's a great, I mean, I know that you would have a great accent.
Oh, well, merci. And Dumbledore's like, I think Hagrid will be more than up to the task.
Yeah.
Come on inside.
He's like, oh, but they only drink single malt whiskey.
Yeah, they only drink single malt whiskey. Do they? Or is that just all you feed them?
Yeah, is this why they die after 6 months?
Yeah. Is this why their eyes are red?
Yeah.
All right, so then, they fuck off. And then a whirlpool appears in the middle of the lake after another couple of minutes of waiting.
That's another I'm done moment. I'll be watching from the side, but I say, I'm done, guys. I'm done. I'll throw my wand away. And I'm going to a school that's near no body of water.
Why? Oh, because of the water thing. I was like, why? What's wrong with that? What do you mean? If you were on that boat?
If I was on the bank just watching it, I'm like, I can't deal with this. Just too many things going on in that water.
Jesus Christ, you and water, man. It sustains life. What's your issue?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So what looks like just a pole emerges from the middle of the whirlpool, and then they realize it's rigging and a mast, and then a giant ship emerges out of the lake.
Yeah.
And sort of banks on the side of the lake. Everyone disembarks, and Karkaroff is immediately like, can we get Victor into the warm? He has a slight head cold.
That is great.
He's like, you know, he just wanted to show him off.
Yeah. Really, then, he should have had Victor standing upon, like, the mast, like hanging off, like, one
dripping
arm.
Dripping wet.
Yeah, like, leaning, like, got his hand, like, above his brow, like, peering off into the distance.
He made me hold my breath this whole time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of that chapter, isn't it?
Yeah. I finally well, enough I wrote for the next chapter I wrote chapter 16 The Gob of Fire.
That's wrong for two reasons. It's The Goblet of Fire and it's chapter 17.
Oh shit,
wait, is it? Or
no, it's not. You're
that?
Fucking wrong. It's chapter 16.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I fuck, all right, I'll take back my smugness.
Yeah. Smuggy McSmuggerson.
So Ron's like, bloody hell, Harry, speak to Crumb.
Yeah, Harry's like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And Ron's like, yeah, it is.
And Hermione's like, oh, it's just a...
Hermione's like, oh.
I was about to say poker player. He's not a poker player.
Fucking hell. So they all fucking bustled into the hall. And Dumbledore sort of talks about the details of the tournament.
Yeah, he does. The Barbiton students sit with the Ravenclaws, and Ron hopes that the Durmstrang students are going to come and sit with them. But
and he makes space as well, but yeah, then fucking...
they go and sit with the Slytherins.
Yeah, and he's like... Argh.
Yeah. They notice that there are two extra chairs either side of Dumbledore, so a total of four extra chairs, but they've only got two new guests for the teacher's table, Maxime and Karkaroff, so they're like, ¿Qué pasa?
Yeah, that is curious.
And then Dumbledore opens the feast, talks about
feasting.
Feasting.
So this is how we feast. Okay, so you grab the turkey, you spread its legs, and then you plunge and you plunge. Oh my god, was you there yesterday when I finally fucking realised that why stuffing is called stuffing?
No.
Literally, I was asking someone what he's from America, what are American Christmas traditions, because I'm like fascinated by it. And then she was saying, yeah, so we have stuffing, but what you guys usually call stuffing, we just call we call it dressing, and we only call it stuffing if it's baked inside the turkey. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard of it, that being a thing before. And then someone else was like, oh, but isn't that, like, weird? And I was like, well, I guess not, because I've seen it done before. Like, it's all been stuffed inside the turkey. And then I was like, oh, my God.
The
As a guy, it makes so much sense now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'd literally never thought about it before.
Wow.
Yeah. As you can tell, Tom, I'm a man that doesn't think about a lot of things.
No. On that note, we seem to have gone awry. Let's see if we can segue back to the podcast.
Well done.
So yeah, and a real girl comes and asks for some fucking French soup that I'm not going to try and pronounce.
Oh, are you finished with the bouillabaisse?
The bouillabaisse.
The bouillabaisse.
And Ron's like, And then Harry's like, yeah, we're done with it.
She's like, no, I don't want gravy. He's like, I brought my own from home.
It's all silver and sparkly.
To be fair, I would totally fucking eat first one's gravy. It'd just be like the beautiful glaze on top of a donut. Oh, dear.
Yeah, and Ron's like, she's a Vila. He's like, of course she's on a Vila, Ron.
Yeah, and then someone else says something, and she's like, well, she's not having that effect on any lover boys, is she?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, well, that wasn't entirely true.
Yeah. From Harry's perspective, he goes, Harry thought that wasn't entirely true.
Yeah.
Harry knows that wasn't entirely true. Quite a few of the boys were standing up and masturbating furiously.
Imagine having that be your life as her, I mean.
I mean, I imagine that is literally what the life is like for a lot of beautiful people.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, they're just used to being treated spectacularly.
Or just having people look at them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like a blessing and a curse.
Mm, for sure.
But, I mean, I don't know, would you rather that or be the other extreme?
I'd definitely rather be super beautiful, yeah. At least you get laid.
Yeah, because the other extreme, I guess you just had to be someone's fetish, wouldn't you? I wondered then if Fleur has all the good Vila parts, but none of the like turning into a bird parts. I sort of imagine that's the case.
Yeah, I guess she probably can't. Can she just conjure fire and throw it?
I don't think so. She doesn't seem to do any. I would think if she could, then she would have at some point in the books.
Yeah.
But all she seems to be able to do is just sort of
be hot.
Yeah, be hot. And then when she's feeling really happy, she gets even more hot.
Does she?
Yeah, she like radiates this glow that if it, the glow like falls upon you, it beautifies you. Because when she gets married to Bill, as she walks down the aisle, the sort of glow that she's radiating beautifies everything in her vicinity.
Huh.
Which I thought was kind of swish.
Yeah.
She's such a good woman as well. When Bill gets all disfigured in like book six and Molly's like, well, I guess you won't want to marry him now. But she's like, of course I will. I'm beautiful enough for the both of us.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's so cool. But yeah.
Yeah. And so then after that, the...
Oh, Dumbledore explains the aging line.
Yes.
In fact, he explains the whole Goblet of Fire, which we were about to completely bypass.
Yes. Before that, the presence of the two extra chairs gets explained.
Yeah.
When
We were just distracted by Fleur's Vila-ness.
Yeah, well, that's the effect it has. Bagman and Crouch arrive. And sit in the extra chairs either side of Dumbledore. Yeah, Dumbledore then explains everything we all know, fucking know about the Triwizard Tournament, basically. Yeah. Introduces Ludo and Bartemius, which I had always read as Bartemus.
I think I had as well.
Yeah.
Understandably.
Yeah. But it is Bartemius.
Bartemius Crouch. Yeah, so he talks about the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, they bring out the chest and everyone's super excited. They bring out the Goblet of Fire and it's all like blue flames around the rim of it.
You said fire like me then.
Did I?
He was like, Goblet of Fire.
Fire.
Yeah, then Dumbledore says, look, I'm going to put an age line around this.
Please don't try and cross it.
Please don't try and get past it.
With a knowing look to Fred and George.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they look back.
Hmm. And Fred and George are like, oh, an age potion should, an aging potion should get us past that, no problem. Little do they know. And then they're on their way out of the hall and they hear Karkaroff speaking to his students in English. Which, I mean, maybe, because we don't know exactly where Durmstrang is and so they're not all necessarily the same nationality.
Yeah, and
they all speak with the same sort of generic Eastern European accent.
Yeah, I think for some more sort of, not necessarily remote countries, but English tends to be the common language in a lot of countries from that area because...
They don't speak each other's languages.
Yeah, so yeah. Especially if they're quite a small, like, place as well. Mm. It would be quite bizarre for a neighbouring country to necessarily know their language. So if it's like a mix of students, yeah, maybe it's just what he says around so everyone can understand him.
Yeah.
And also, so the reader knows what's being said.
Yes. Who needs a fourth wall anyway?
Said the worst carpenter ever.
So Harry's like sort of just holding the door open as you do as a polite person, and Karkaroff goes to walk through it and he stops and goes, looks Harry up and down, look at his, sort of stops mid-sentence. Doesn't actually get a chance to say anything, I don't think. And then Moody just sort of appears and he's like, yeah, that's Harry Potter. And colour drains from Karkaroff's face as he sees Moody.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what Moody says, but
he probably
like,
says something dastardly.
Something dastardly. Oh, he says, long time, Igor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you little shit.
Yeah, fancy seeing you around these parts.
You busy later?
Yes, I like the way your teeth have slight serrations. And they're rather yellow. Would you like some white up in your grill?
My gash is diagonal.
Yeah.
So yeah, the next day, the twins and Lee Jordan have taken the aging potion. They're like, should be just a few drops. You only need to be a few months older.
Is it only the twins actually cross it though?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Fred goes first. He takes a step over the aging line and he's like, ha ha, done it. And then George is like, great, joins him. And then they just get thrown out basically.
Yeah.
Just
and then huge beards sprout from their faces.
Yes. And everyone laughs, including them, when they see each other. Which is nice. They're all good-natured and jolly about it. And then Dumbledore turns up and he's like, I did warn you.
Yeah, I did warn you. Twinkle, twinkle. Yeah. He's like, you can go and join so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so in the hospital wing.
Yes.
Although none of their beards were as fine as yours. Maybe we can all meet up later and have a little beard party. We can tie them all together and run around in a circle. Angelina Johnson shows up.
Yeah, and it was like, we were 17, Angelina. And it's like, well, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't be able to get past the age line.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I just turned 17 like last week or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I thought I'd enter.
And then she puts her name in, and then Ron's like, oh, I hope it's her. It's rather her than pretty boy Cedric.
And then you get some scowls from some Hufflepuffs walking past.
And then Hermione's like, no, he's really smart, and he's a good thingy and a thingy thingy. And Ron's like, oh, you only like him because he's like handsome.
I don't only like people because they're handsome, Ron.
She's like, obviously, I am friends with you. That'd be a good return.
We get married in the end.
Yeah. I obviously can look past many flaws.
Yeah.
So, right, I close my eyes most of the time anyway. Also, we have this weird habit of putting a sheet over my face. Everyone's like, because I know that you like that. I cut holes in it and everything. It's got a little hood.
And then they say, we should go down and see Hagrid, somewhat out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But then they get down there and Hagrid's like, oh, about time, I haven't seen you like bloody ages. And they're all like, because he's...
bollock naked.
I was about to say literally the opposite of that. All dressed up.
All dressed up in his birthday suit.
Yeah. He's wearing a hairy brown suit and has like slicked his hair back with like axle grease.
Why has a wizard got axle grease? What's he using it for? He hasn't got a tractor.
Using it for his hair, mate.
Yeah, but just get some fucking like VO5.
Or just a pair of scissors.
Or just get yourself.
And they're like, so they decide not to comment on it. And yeah, they ask him how the Scroots are. He says, oh, they're starting to kill each other. But I've got them in separate boxes now, so that's all right. And he almost mentions about the first task.
He's like,
oh, yeah, he's like, oh, I'm excited about the tournament. You never believe what the first task is. And they're like, what? And he's like, oh,
I should have told you that.
I should have told you that. So I don't want to spoil it for you. And Haney doesn't want to join Spew.
Yeah, that's it, because he's like, You won't find many ourselves who thingy. They like it, they get enjoyment, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but Dobby, like, and Tina's like, yeah, well, you get weirdos in every breed.
Yeah.
But you never find the majority of households who are willing to, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, fine. And then, so they start getting ready to go to the feast, and Hagrid puts on this fucking awful cologne, and they're all like, oh, Hagrid, what is that? Is that aftershave? And he's like, oh, the cologne. Yeah, maybe it's a bit much. I'll wash it off. And he goes to the fucking barrel in his fucking backyard, whatever it is, and starts washing himself with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what part of himself is he washing? Is it just his neck?
Fuck knows. Fuck knows what he's done with that over cologne.
I just thought it was a bit bizarre. It's like a bizarre visual.
Yeah.
I thought, what, is he just like stripped off kind of naked and washing it off of like... Because I don't know, like, I guess it depends on how you apply it. Because some people just put it on their neck, some people just put it on their clothes.
So it sounds like he's put it fucking everywhere, because it's...
Yeah, so maybe he just literally... Maybe he completely stripped, just fucking leapt in the lake, did a lap and came back.
Yeah. Let's say he did that.
Yeah. Hermione's like, I'm finding you very attractive right now.
Oh.
He looked like a giant wet dog.
Now shake for me.
The visual, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
God.
they go back up to the school for the announcement of the champions.
Now, hold on, they bump into Madame Maxime.
Yeah,
first.
Hagrid's appearance is explained.
Yeah,
as they leave, because Hagrid runs into Madame Maxime, and they becomes very obvious that he has the hots for her.
Yeah, and then they go for the feast.
And they just kind of want the feast to be over with, because everyone's so excited about.
Yeah, and Harry's like, this is the second massive feast he's had in 2 days. Yeah, he's finding the like lovely what do you call them?
Plentiful?
No, the lovely like entrees and shit like that. Oh. He's finding them less appetizing than he would have usually. Mm. So it's the Halloween feast, isn't it?
I suppose it is, yeah, yeah. So then, yeah, the names fly out of the goblet at the end.
That's all you really need to know for this book. Yeah, so the fucking goblet gets fiery and...
It is a goblet of fire, after all.
And Crumbs is the first name to come out.
Yep.
And everyone's like, woo!
Dumbledore's turned the lights down and it's got all spooky.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. And so the only light is the light from the goblet. And it goes all red and fiery and a tongue of flame shoots out.
Yeah. Who comes out next?
The next is the Beauxbatons champion.
Yeah, it's like Fleur Delacour. And there are quite a few girls in her like delegation who look dislike upset that it wasn't them who were chosen.
Mm.
And then...
Then the Hogwarts champion.
Yeah,
is
but there's a silence. Silence in the air, so stiff with excitement, you could almost taste it.
Yeah. Is that a direct quote? Oh, this podcast writes itself.
And it lights up again, and then fucking Cedric's name comes out.
Yeah, Hogwarts champion is Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, and everyone's like, woo! And then Dumbledore's like, and that concludes the choosing for the...
Yeah. Sorry, I've been hanging out with Moody too much.
And then, but then...
He starts his whole wrap-up speech.
Yeah.
But then...
A big fire comes out again, and another bit of paper comes out. Dumbledore catches it, and then he looks at it, and then looks at everyone else, and then opens his mouth.
And then looks back at the paper.
Yeah. And then he says...
Can we hold this back anymore? I don't think anyone knows what's coming.
And then he says, Harry Potter.
Wow.
And then the chapter ends.
Spooky. I mean, it's Halloween.
But yeah, so that's the end of that chapter. That's the end of this episode.
It is. I really enjoyed those chapters as well, just like I did with the last episode's chapters.
I can tell by your tone of voice.
Sorry, was that not sincere enough for you? I really did, though.
Yeah, me too.
There's a lot of just ambling around Hogwarts that is really enjoyable to read. And
yeah,
it's good
like,
world building.
Massive plot holes aside, there's not an unenjoyable part of this book.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, thank you for listening to this ever so magical episode. Reach out to us on Instagram at PolyRedPod. Reach out to us on Twitter at PolyRedPod. Reach out to us through email. We've gotten like a ton already, and it's been like lovely going through them all. We hope to get back to everyone. Email us at poilyred@gmail.com. Observations, tidbits, scathing criticisms. Yeah. And also please take the time to give us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. It's done like wonders for us already, and we want it to be even more wondrous. So yeah, do that if you love us. Do it if you don't. Yeah, without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid has been Hagrid.